We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast that dives into social relationships and why the investment you put into them is so important. Your host, Lori Hybu, will connect with industry-leading professionals and dive into their networking experiences and expert advice.
Hey, everybody. Lori Hybu here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybu and on Facebook. This week's guests, Joey Muir and Russ Morgan. I hope I said those right. I did not confirm that before. All right. The Wall Street mindset separates both families, entrepreneurs, and business owners from their money while others use it for their advantage. The secret to freedom is having your money work for you, not someone else, when wealth building. Both Russ and Joey work tirelessly to be the hub for financial insight and education for individuals, business owners, and investors nationwide. They believe that taking control over your finances will lead to greater prosperity and a more stress-free way of life. Russ and Joey, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lori. I could have said that any better myself.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Oh, well, thank you. I didn't write it. You supplied it to me.
Oh, we wrote it. Man, that sounded so familiar that first time.
Okay. Oh, man. So you've got a podcast. Yes. I've got a podcast. Tell me.
We all need a podcast.
Exactly. Let's share it with our listeners. Why did you decide to start a podcast?
Well, Lori, we have so much to say and so few time to get all of those words in that we need to record that so somebody could listen to it as they were running on a treadmill or in their car or whatever they're doing. So no, really, our podcast came initially out of the thought of we want to have a weekly conversation with our clients. And we're in the financial space. And as you know, you probably have met with somebody who's in the financial space. You have one or two conversations throughout the year. And that's great. Maybe everything's perfect. But in our world, we're kind of talking about outside of the box ideas, not the same thing that it does. You know, you don't have to get a book and go, oh yeah, I've heard that before, close the book, come back a year later to hear it again. We're constantly bringing those ideas and learning new ideas. So for us, it was like, well, how can we have conversations with our clients weekly when we don't have time to meet with them, but maybe two or three times a year?
Yeah, it was a way to scale that part of our business because we were growing and growing and growing and realized, okay, we can no longer do this belly to belly, one-on-one. We have to do this one to many. And so we just use the technology of a podcast and then that kind of turned it on its head.
I think that's fantastic. And I love it that you're leveraging podcasting to nurture your relationships with your clients.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing that we get to have those conversations weekly. We talk about really openly about what's going on in our life, both fun, financial, family. And then when we do see our clients, and most of our meetings happen online anyway, but when we do get to see and talk to them, they're bringing up the things that we've been talking about for the last 2 months as if we had been talking to them specifically every single week. So it's been a huge kind of relationship builder and it's created a lot of opportunities as well.
That's awesome. Fantastic. So how has podcasting grown your social network overall?
I think really what it's done is it's put us in a totally different category that we didn't expect. So I guess the long story of it is that because we started talking to our clients every single week, we didn't realize that other people were listening in on the conversation. So we've had people from all across the country calling us up, emailing us, messages on Facebook or whatever, and saying, hey, by the way, all those things you're talking about, I want to do. How do I do that? And so overnight, it just really kind of created this new draw of people that are like-minded, that want to be a part of what we're doing, the movement that we have. But secondly, all the different guests that we have on the show are all the cool kids, if you will, right? I mean, you remember that party back in high school that you knew all the cool kids were going to be at, and you're sitting there and you're wondering, you're at home, you're like, man, I wonder what it would be like to be at the cool kids party. You know, like, wonder what they're doing right now. And course, Russ was the one that put the whole party together. I was the one wondering why I wasn't invited. But but that's really what it's been for us on the podcast, is we get to have conversations with each one of those guys that are doing amazing things in each of the different five pillars that we talk about on our show. But now we have those experts that are a part of our movement.
Well, and I think just tangibly, I mean, we just hit a milestone for us. And for some people, it's like so minimal, but we hit 1,000 followers on our Facebook page. And for us, because we're not super social in that way, because we, you know, I have 4 kids, Joey has 5. We live in an age where, you know, people are on social media, but we don't spend tons of time there. We've had no strategy to try to gain followers or likes, but all of that has been a direct result of our podcast. And it's amazing that people are following to see or hear the latest episodes. And as that's been a great way for us to network with people and to, you know, have a bigger reach than we would have had otherwise.
That's awesome. I think that's fantastic that you've grown organically without a strategy, and you've got quite a loyal following, it sounds like. So that being said, what are some of the best practices for building that community within your brand?
Well, I would say, obviously, the podcasting has allowed us to have more engaged conversations with our clients, to ask them, what are those things that you're really interested in? And sometimes when you survey your client base about different things, it's, you get crickets, right? You don't get a whole lot of feedback. Mm-hmm. But from our standpoint, because now we do have, as you said, kind of a loyal listenership, you can kind of track it. It's steadily growing on itself, but we know there's the super fan in there, and they're the ones that are always willing to give us that feedback of what they're interested in, what they're wanting to learn. And I think that's been huge for us, because when you find out what are the pain points that people are struggling with, and they're actually giving you that information, now you can really add value and help people. It's been a big, huge thing. What do you think, Joe?
Well, and I'd say it's really the progression of this. If you want to kind of tell a story, is we started with the problem of, you know, not being able to have regular conversations with our clients. So we start the podcast. Well, then we start finding out there's other people like our clients that want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. And so they start engaging with the brand because of it. And then from there, we start saying, well, there's even more issues there. They want more kind of engagement that's more than just a step into listening to a podcast. They want to meet other people like themselves. They want to go deeper into the Q&A with our podcast guests. They want to learn from the courses that we have and the people that we know. They want to be a part of it. So that really pushed us to developing an online community that now people can pay to be a part of, and they're getting incredible knowledge and value. But it was all birthed out of that group speaking to us and us saying, huh, okay, I guess we need to create it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of the progression, the evolution of that.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. So the purpose of this show is really to advocate for networking and help those that hear that word networking and are immediately cringing and have some fear. let's remove that fear. So can you help our listeners that have that fear and share one of your most successful or favorite networking stories that you've had?
Well, I am definitely one of those people that hear the word networking and immediately think no. I mean, in an environment that I'm comfortable in, I could be the guy in the corner with the, you know, the lampshade on his head. Like I love being the center of attention, but in a networking environment, when it's like, oh, I need to go, I need to sell my business, I need to like tell people about what I do. That is just like the furthest from what I want to be involved in. And a long time ago, Joey and I had the pleasure of being a part of this group that actually brought this speaker into Birmingham. He wrote a book, and it was actually written for real estate agents of all things, which neither Joey nor I were. Joey was in the mortgage industry. I was in the traditional financial planning space at that time. And we just attended because we had mutual clients that were there. But his book was written, it's a guy named Michael Mayer, The 7 Levels of Communication. And he actually talked about how people want to learn and network and grow. And so for me, from his book, he laid out a very clean strategy. And one of those was just the power of reciprocity. And it's when you give to people is when they have this unequal feeling and they want to give back. And so the way that he talked about doing it, and I actually would go and implement this on a regular basis, is I'd have a weekly meeting. It was usually at a restaurant. I would sit down. I would, beforehand, I would call people and I would say, "Hey, Lori, I have a business. I'm constantly talking to clients. They have lots of needs that are outside of what I do. I would love to learn more about your business so that when they ask me about that specific subject matter, I'll know more about what you do so I can refer them to you. Mm-hmm. Would you like to sit down with me for around an hour and just tell me a little bit about your business?" Now, as you might imagine, I didn't have a whole lot of people said no to that. And so what I would do is that I'd set up, one day a week, I'd had four or five of these back to back. And I usually would do it at a restaurant. So the first meeting would be a lunch meeting. And I'd let them know for the other three people coming, "Hey, we're going to meet at a restaurant just because I'm going to have been there. It's a nice environment. They'll bring us Cokes or waters anytime we want to. And but we're not going to be eating. So don't feel like you need to, wait till 3 o'clock to eat. Go ahead and eat. We're going to have that meeting." So, but then what I would do is when the second person would come or third person would come, I would introduce the two of those people. I'd say, "Oh, Lori, meet Joey. Joey, has a mortgage company that he manages. And, this is something interesting about him. Hey, Joey, meet Lori. She runs, this successful marketing business. You guys need to probably interact, change cards. There's some things you guys can do." And I'd always excuse myself and I'd go to the bathroom. So I would put two people who don't know anything except me. They don't have anything in common except me. So what would end up happening is they would talk to each other for a few minutes and then they would say, "Well, how do you know Russ?" And they'd start talking about me and talking about how, this is a guy that loves to network and this guy that loves to connect people. And that was like the strategy that I loved. And from that, I did that for almost a year and a half straight. I met some amazing people, learned about amazing businesses, but in essence, that's how I grew my business. That was where, for the first few years, that was all the connections and the resources I built. And that was like so much more powerful for me from a networking standpoint than going to these like monthly meetings that meet at some, rundown hotel where we're all trading business cards and we can't wait to tell the other person what we do and we're not listening to what they're saying, right? And everybody knows that.
Well, and to Russ's point, he and I were kind of learning the same process and using the same process in our businesses. And really what I love about the podcast, I might beat this drum a little bit today because I feel like it's the new way of creating exactly what Russ laid out on a national scale. So now I'm no longer limited to the person that's down the street from me that I need to get to know. I now can talk to somebody about their business and invite them onto a national platform with a podcast and ask them those same questions because I want to be able to have their expertise to offer to my audience. Mm-hmm. And of course, people will never turn you down to talk about themselves.
Yep.
They love the sound of their own name and the sound of their own, success or whatever. And so being able to have a podcast gets you into a position to network at a higher level than I really really ever expected us to be at.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So as you've built this established network and this community that you've spoken about, how do you stay in front of or best nurture these relationships?
I think for us, that's really where the community comes in. So once we actually interview somebody in the podcast, they come into the community as an expert who's going to be doing a Q&A with our audience, and then they stay in the community and they are accessible almost as easily as like texting them because our community is on its own app platform. So when you join, you're a member, now you can reach out to that guy that you just heard on the podcast last week with a private message and say, "Hey, by the way, tell me more about X, Y, or Z," or you can look online and see where they're located. They might be, right there down the street from you. Go meet them in person if you want. So I think the ongoing nurture is just constantly adding those Q&As, we do live trainings every week. And so everybody has an opportunity to interact. And there's a social aspect to it as well, almost like a Facebook feed.
Yeah,
that sort of thing.
Nobody likes to be in an environment where they feel like they're all alone. And I think that sometimes when you go to a traditional networking environment, you feel like I'm on an island. I'm the only one here. I'm team me, or I'm one of, there's probably a lot of people behind me, but you don't get to see them. And so they have this kind of nervous feeling. But when you put them in a group and you create some sort of common purpose to be there, then networking becomes a lot easier. And mm-hmm. I do think that having a community, at first we built that on Facebook, but there was limiting factors to that, as we all know, and also distracting factors of that.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, building a membership site that was on its own platform that didn't have its cat memes and other, you know, gossip girl type stuff that that would distract us for 45 minutes, would allow us to be very focused, has created an environment where, hey, we have professional people who want to network, who want to learn a very specific subject matter that's, you know, revolving around our expertise. And then we allow those people to interact with maybe people that they otherwise wouldn't have access to. And, mm-hmm. and I think that's definitely helped us grow the community as a whole, but then grow a community internally as well.
Sure. I think that's awesome. I think that's really fantastic that you've done. I'm glad you mentioned the Facebook kind of creating the group versus your own platform, because I was going to ask about that. But it is, I can see why Facebook is distracting. You really got to capture someone's attention real quick and real good. Otherwise, they're going and deviating and looking at something else.
Well, and also, I mean, for Facebook, it is, I mean, I'm a Facebook addict. Like, who isn't, right? I mean, I try my best to limit it to only once every 5 to 6 minutes. But I know that I also have an attention span of a gnat while I'm on it. So for me, It wasn't like, for what we were doing, our content is a little deeper. It's going to require a little more, you know, time. And so we knew, hey, when we wanted to create a platform where people, when they went there, they're saying, okay, I'm going to dedicate 5 to 15 minutes maybe to be on this instead of 5 to 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, you know, your business model, and some people have, you know, things that can be bought and sold in 5 to 15 seconds. And Facebook is a great avenue for you to host those groups. For us, we knew ours was a different model, so we went with a different strategy.
Yeah, nice. It totally makes sense. What advice would you offer the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
Oh, I mean, you're going to get tired of me, but I would say...
I got one guess. You're going to say podcast?
I mean, I'm a pretty simple-minded guy, so... Yeah, I would say take the leap. And for us, what I will say is this: if we really allowed the fear of getting started to stand in the way, it would have been a big flop, and we would have never gotten started. But I think nowadays there are so many services out there that all you have to do is go in, record good content, and hand it off to somebody. Like, even Lori, I think you guys even do this for clients, right? Like, you can even take it and help them get a podcast started, right?
Oh yeah. Keystone Click, my business. That's one of the many digital offerings we have. We've got a little studio that I'm sitting in right now that we're recording in. And we have helped clients just get it started. Just kind of going through those steps, because that seems to be where the big hurdle is for a lot of people. All the way to, yeah, you just come in, record your awesome message, and then we do the rest, from editing, producing, publishing, and promoting.
Well, so if you're a business owner and you can talk, and you like to talk, I mean, Russ, of all people, speaks way more than the average person. So we had to have an outlet for him. But this is something that everybody should do. You have a story to tell, and people will want to listen. I mean, Russ and I have been to Podcast Movement. It's a huge 3,000 people mm-hmm. Conference. And to talk to the number of people out there that have the most random niche podcast topic, I scratch my head every time. I'm like, you people actually listen to your show? Like, that is the most random idea I've ever heard. And yet they have this crazy following. And it all just comes down to everybody has a voice, everybody has a story, and you know, podcasting gives you
the. And I would say this too, is sometimes the thought of starting your own can be a little overwhelming at first. And one of the best pieces of advice that we were given is to be on other people's podcasts. So here we are, right? It is. And today we're just talking about, you know, social capital. We're talking about networking, and that's we love that. But a lot of times people want us on their show to talk about the alternative investing ideas that we have. You know, how do people break free of this Wall Street mindset and actually reach financial freedom? Well, what a better place to be able to share your message than someone who's already taken the time and effort to put together an audience? Because building one isn't always easy. I mean, we've been at this, you know, work on this for a little over 2 years now, and we've hit some milestones. We're super excited about the success we're having. But the ability to get onto other people's podcasts, and if you have a unique story, you have a message, it's really easy, I think, to reach out via, you know, LinkedIn or other messaging services that let you figure out, okay, here's an audience. They have a podcast. Obviously, they have guests that come on here. You can kind of really research some basic criteria and say, would we be beneficial? Would our message help them? Well, that's a great networking tool. And that, and like Joey said, that's not limited to a geographic area. That's something that you can do digitally and reach lots of people, or you can hire companies to help you do that. That may be something you guys do as well. I don't know.
Oh, absolutely. Anything in the digital space, that's our bread and butter. But I think what you're sharing as far as growing your network, I am backing that up 100%. Podcasting has been super fun. Far exceeded my expectations. And when I speak on podcasting, I'm always sharing how I got started. And it was definitely out of fear. It was someone, a good friend of mine, started his own podcast and invited me to be a guest. And I was like, no way, not doing that. And then after him poking and prodding for a little while, I'm like, fine, I'll do it. And then when I was done, I realized, oh, this is super fun. And yeah. I kind of want to keep doing this.
Absolutely.
Right.
All righty. Here's another fun one. So, you know, a lot of what we're talking about with social media and then podcasting, definitely a digital tool to create relationships. Traditional networking is just as important, though, to some extent. So digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
Well, I think we use digital networking to create personal networking. And what I mean by that is, we've developed some pretty amazing relationships because of our podcast, but nothing stops belly to belly. Like when you can sit in a room with somebody and over dinner, break bread, like that's where relationships go deep. And I would say, like for us, you know, we used to have a lot of meetings, you know, a lot of networking meetings, and you would waste potentially some time, you know, in those meetings. And early on, you realize that we're not going to be a fit for each other. Digitally now, we can shorten that time frame and find out who are those potential super users. Who are those people that can put you in front of hundreds, if not hundreds of thousands of people that need your message? And we go and we go travel the world to spend time with those people. And that's been, for me, I love, there's nothing more that I love. I'm a one-on-one type person. So I love being able to, you know, travel and sit down with somebody and learn all about them and find ways that we can add value to them and what they're trying to do. And to me, that's been that's where I live and breathe. Now this guy, he loves a big room. He likes to be and mixing and mingling with people constantly.
I do love that. And it's hard to say this, but I think the digital is just a much more efficient means of accomplishing the same goal. And it's been hard. It's been hard to transition from, you know, oh, I need to go to this local event because of X, Y, or Z. And I'll put it in a different light. We have friends that go and they find big stages that they speak on. Mm-hmm. And they've been telling us, oh man, you know what, Joey, you guys ought to be on a stage. And we're not opposed to that. We've actually spoken quite a bit here, even this year specifically. But the bigger opportunity for us is, man, what if there's 10,000 people right now listening to a podcast we were on 3 months ago. That to us is far more efficient use of our time than going to maybe get in front of 150 people on a stage. It doesn't mean that you don't do it, but I'm saying I would much rather use the scale of a podcast or digital.
But you use one thing to the other. She talked about stages, and I believe, and I may be wrong in this, but I believe it was Harry Truman when he was in political office and running. It wasn't actually when he was running for president. I think he was actually running for, you know, one of the Senate majority leader type things. And he had to get on a, you know, one of the big primary stages and speak. And he was what they would say an introvert. And so what he did, though, is all the major speakers that were coming up to speak, he had his team have that person stop by, in essence, the green room, wasn't the green room because it was a stage environment, and sit one-on-one with him, and he would talk. And that is where he built his support through all the things that led him ultimately to president. But they said that he was not that just really boastful, interactive person that would meet a lot of people. And I think that's what you're saying, Joey, is that when you have the ability to use a platform, and maybe it's podcasting,
right,
it creates an opportunity to get on a one-on-one level. And sometimes it's, you know, we're talking before and after the podcast is recording, where we get to talk about, you know, hey, well, tell me, you know, just, you know, who are you trying to meet? And it's amazing is that, you know, what's that 6 or 7 degrees from Kevin Bacon thing is ultimately we find an avenue, right, to do. And I would kind of going back to that book I referenced early, Lori, The 7 Levels of Communication. Mm-hmm. And we would have that meeting over lunch or at the restaurant. And you would ask that person for 55 minutes, everything you could learn about them. And inevitably, they would try to find out about you, and you'd give them 5 minutes. And then right as they were getting ready to leave, you would ask them this question. And this is the question that we ask every single time that we remember it, and not always do we remember it, but we try to every time, is what is the biggest challenge that you have right now? And our goal is to listen to whatever that is, not respond, which is really hard, by the way.
Yeah.
Not respond.
Especially for Russ.
Really hard for me. But not respond right away. But what is the biggest challenge you're dealing with right now? And there's a couple of things you learn in this answer. One is if they respond with something business, that's fine. That lets you know that you have to develop your relationship with them a little bit further. Mm-hmm. If it's personal, you know that you really hit a chord with this person, and you're connected. But whatever their challenge is, make it your job before the end of the day to be able to connect them, point them toward a resource, or help them and send them something that would help them with that challenge. But definitely don't do it when you're right there with them, because you probably don't have exactly the right answer right away. And if you do, if it's the biggest challenge and you can answer it in 30 seconds or less, it might make them feel bad. So take a little time, think on that. But that's been a help for us. And that's also been one of those networking tools that's helped us connect people. And especially with our podcasts, like right now, like when people are asking for podcasting, like who would you recommend? We start thinking of guests that we've had on our previous episodes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And trying to put those two together and create that halo effect. Like we just want to be a part of the good things happening.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love that. I love that question. I wrote it down and I put really big boxes around it because it's going to stand out now on my notes here. I like the not answer right away. I think that's almost more valuable than the question itself, because it says one, that you're listening, and two, if you follow through and have some either advice or connection at the end of the day, there's another touch. So you're kind of reinforcing the relationship that you're starting to build with them.
Yeah, no doubt.
Nice. All right. I'm going to turn the microphone to you and give you the opportunity to interview me. So what is something that you'd like to ask me?
So I would say, Lori, what's your biggest challenge right now?
Oh, man. You know, I set that up tonight. the biggest one. That's hard to prioritize that. There's so many fun things in front of me right now. Let me see. You know, I guess my own time management has been a constant strain. If I can, I'm one of those people that wants to help everybody and do everything. But then I find that I'm doing nothing well at times. So I need to be a little bit more strategic in my time management. And I've read tons of articles. I've actually interviewed some people on my show that are experts in time management to see if I can get some goodies from them. But yeah, I'm open to any additional tips. Yeah. Best practices.
Well, that's what my next question was going to be. What have you tried so far? So out of those things, you've listened to all the experts, you've read the books. What have you implemented?
Time blocking.
Ah.
So, for example, I only record podcast episodes on Tuesday afternoons.
Gotcha.
That way I'm kind of stacking them, doing them back to back. And then I'm trying to prioritize, you know, the tasks that are on my to-do list, but more importantly, delegating to the things that I really shouldn't be doing, even though I may want to do them.
Yeah.
So what do you think you're going to try next?
Oh, I don't know. I think the biggest challenge is honoring my calendar. And so, yeah,
that's so difficult.
It is
so difficult. Like, I've been trying to accomplish that same thing for 5 years now, it feels like.
Hey, if time management is not a challenge, you don't have enough business. By the way,
fair argument. I guess, right, so I'd rather be figuring out when I'm going to do things instead of what am I going to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to ask the question that your listener wants to know. If I want to start my own podcast, your company can help me. Mm-hmm. Like, walk me through that, because they may not be willing to ask because they're fearful. They're scared of what that entails. They don't even know what they don't know, right? And that's
sure.
the big scary moment. So I'm going to ask the question that I think your listener is thinking when we opened the door a second ago, and you said, "Yeah, I help you start a podcast. Mm-hmm. I do all of these things."
Sure.
Walk me through real quickly what that looks like.
Sure. Absolutely. So what we've developed is basically a podcast onboarding workbook. And it's a one-on-one with myself or another member of my team. See the delegation part there, where we're walking you through this workbook, and it's covering all of the vitals of getting your podcast started, from you know, just what is your topic? Who's your audience? What is the frequency you're going to be posting? Where's the podcast, you know, going to live? How are you going to promote it? Are you going to do guests? Are they going to be solo casts? And what is the flow of the show going to be? What is your artwork? So we literally walk through all of the steps in this workbook. I give you homework. And then if you decide to do the editing on your own, we'll help you get the right software set up on your computer. We'll train you on how to do the editing and the publishing and the promotion. Or we'll talk about what that process is going to look like if you are going to engage us to do the ongoing editing, publishing, promotion.
Very nice. That's amazing. And what is something like, do I find out the pricing of that after you set it all up, or do you have that visible for me somewhere?
Yeah, that would be a conversation that we would have. Right now, that onboarding workshop is at $1,500. And it's about a four-week engagement, but we've noticed because of just time of our the individuals that we're doing it with, it sometimes goes a little bit longer because it's based on their time to finish all the homework assignments.
You're going to have to increase the price of that, because I can tell you the things that you just covered in that checklist are vital. And if you don't have somebody walking you through it, it will cost you way more than $1,500.
Oh my gosh. Thousands upon thousands of dollars we wasted early on because we didn't know a lot of that stuff. So
yeah,
you didn't pay us to say these things, but we, again, if we're going to talk about podcasts the whole time, there's ways that you can get this information. You can borrow it or you can pay retail for it. And We early on, we paid retail constantly because we were trying to figure it out on our own. And we would have been so much better off having just paid someone like yourself who already had all that expertise to help us through it. So if you want a podcast, I encourage you to Lori's.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. And good questions. Thank you very much. So, Joey and Russ, any final words of advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
I just say take the plunge, be honest with you. Don't be afraid that you don't have anything to talk about. I always have something that you can add as far as value to the world. And part of that is just having great guests and curating good content. And, you know, don't be afraid to do it.
For me, I think the more you know about yourself, the more you know about the way people operate, the better. So I'm a huge fan of personality studies, whether that's DISC, Colby, Enneagram, the Culture Index, I mean, whatever the dot one is, the color one. I mean, the more you start to learn about people, the more you can interact and conversate with them on their level. I'll mention one other book I read that was in kind of this space. It was a book called Captivate. It was The Science of Succeeding with People. I don't know if you've ever read that one, Vanessa.
No, I haven't.
But it's a really great book. It's more, you know, how to be in that one-on-one environment, how to set yourself up. I learned one little small tip from that I continue to use is, you know, people who are winners, right? When you think of whatever, you know, it's a race car, it's a football game, you know, soccer match, whatever your thing is. If you look at winners, you know, once they've won it, there's this commonality that they have. They're all standing up, their shoulders are back and broad, and they have a huge smile on their face, right? Mm-hmm. But when you look at losers on most teams, it's the opposite. The shoulders are shrunk over, their head's down, and they're looking not so happy. And she mentioned that we inadvertently make ourselves look like losers in a public environment on a daily basis. And you want to know how, Lori?
How?
What's that one thing that we have in our hand constantly?
Stupid cell phones.
And think about how you look at it. Mm-hmm. You're slumped over, head down, and kind of concentrating on whatever it's on it. So mm-hmm. From this point forward, I always follow her advice. I put it out in front of me, shoulders back, big smile. And I may look like I'm always taking a selfie, but I'm never going to look like a loser in an environment. And it's so true that we sometimes set ourselves up for failure. So that's one of the little last nuggets I'll leave you with.
I think that's fantastic. I love that little piece of advice. And I think both of you offered some great final pieces of advice. Take the plunge. There's definitely always some sort of value that can be added. And I'm also a big advocate of taking some of those personality exams, tests, whatever you want to call them. I'm a big fan of the Strength Finders one. Have you done that one?
Oh, you give me something to do.
Mm-hmm. Strength Finders. Okay. That one's super fun. And based on what you're sharing, I think you'll really enjoy it. The idea, the thinking behind it is you think of professional athletes, you know, you've got your quarterback who's great at, you know, throwing those long throws. And that's all he's practicing. So he's building on his strengths instead of working on being a better kicker not working on his weaknesses. He's working on his strengths. So this assessment, it helps you identify what are your five strengths, and then gives you some guidance and direction on what you can pursue, but also gives you some input on, you know, these other individuals' strengths, how you can best work and communicate with those types of individuals.
Amazing. Do they work for partners that have very few?
Absolutely. Oh,
that's a low blow.
No, I think it's a great tool. Actually, internally, everyone on my team does the assessment. And I have everyone's strengths in a little picture frame on everyone's desk. So then,
I love
you know,
it,
we can see where everyone's strengths are. So this was super fun. If anyone was interested in getting in contact with either of you, what's the best way to reach you?
So easiest way is our website, wealthwithoutwallstreet.com. You can listen to us on the podcast. We're on iTunes. It's just the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast.
Stitcher, Spotify, anywhere
all
you
that
have
stuff.
A podcast.
Yeah. And lastly, if anybody is interested in the community aspect, we talked about that somewhat. You can find out more about that at community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com.
Great. All of this information will be included in the show notes. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today. This was a ton of fun.
Yeah, our pleasure. Thanks for having us.
This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Joey and Russ for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to see who will be on the show next. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next episode.